He was the hero of the religious right in the 96 race, the champion of conservative moral values. And some wonder if maybe he has a direct hotline right to heaven. What would God say in a Christmas card to his friend, Mr. Pat Buchanan? Welcome to the Voice of Prophecy. This is Lonnie Melashenko. Join us today as we search for ways to make this a better world and prepare for the world to come.
Here now is Lonnie Melashenko with God's Christmas card to Pat Buchanan.
Dear Pat, political cartoonists have enjoyed suggesting that you, Pat Buchanan, think you're the only person to get Christmas cards directly from God, that you're the only person with a hotline to heaven. Well, that's certainly not true. I've already mailed cards this week to Carrie Strug, Madonna, and even a cartoon hero and cubicle dweller named Dilbert. But even though you're not the only person on my Christmas list, Pat Buchanan, you certainly are on it. So let me say right here and now, Merry Christmas to you and your wife, Shelley. People accuse you of dividing the nation, and maybe in one way it's true. Almost everyone in America either loves or hates Mr. Pat Buchanan. Well, I don't mind who reads this card, and here's what God's going to say right now. I'm one of those on the love side of the great divide. Pat, even though I'm not a Republican, you're a man I really do love. There are so many reasons why I love and appreciate you. I've already mentioned one, your vibrant, faithful, abiding marriage to one woman for 25 years. In a political landscape strewn with convenient divorces and broken homes and National Enquirer headlines, you've been an example of what heaven expects of its followers. Your inseparable relationship with Shelley is a well-known legend on Inside Washington television talk shows. You're also a man of faith. All your life, you've been a practicing Christian, a faithful member of your Roman Catholic community. You don't make allowances for a split or dichotomy between so-called private faith and a public life. And there's something else that maybe only the insiders and someone like God would know. You're a man who, behind all the noise of politics, does reach out with genuine graciousness to some unexpected people. Last August, when the Republicans in San Diego passed you by for a big keynote speech, they gave it instead to New York Representative Susan Molinari, Mrs. Moderate Republican. Newsweek showed a picture of you in a boxer's pose as you publicly blustered and fumed, but also revealed that you privately gave Susan a call of congratulations. It was you as White House Communications Director who had to carry the tragic news to President Reagan. Sir, the space shuttle has exploded. And there's also the tender side of Mr. Buchanan that maybe even you don't want too widely revealed, but I know. Back in the very last days of Watergate, when your boss, Richard Nixon, was making that agonizing, wrenching decision to resign the presidency, you were in emotional upheaval too, of course. Someone you'd stake your political fortunes on was about to climb on board Air Force One in disgrace and fly out of your life. But still you took the time to give encouragement to presidential daughter Julie Nixon Eisenhower. You were there to remind her of all her dad had accomplished, to tell her there would still be a tomorrow for the things you all believed in. We're still buddies, you told her. At one of your own lowest moments, Pat Buchanan, your thoughts were for other people. But Pat, let me also add a few plain words of challenge that won't likely come from Santa Claus. People have said that you divide America, and by your own admission, that's a strategy you believe in. Back in Nixon's first term, when you were an aide in the White House, you and Vice President Spiro Agnew came up with a strategy entitled Positive Polarization. In a memo to the president, you wrote about the benefits of nominating a Southern segregationist to the Supreme Court. I'm quoting, "It is a bitterly divisive issue for Democratic candidates," you observed. "Either they kick their black friends in the teeth, or they kick the South in the teeth. De facto." In other words, it's unavoidably divisive. Later on in the political battles of that era, you urged a political strategy that would, quote, "cut the Democratic Party and country in half." And you added, "My view is that we would have by far the larger half." and from there you descended, yes, in heaven's view, you descended into plain unvarnished name-calling. In your 92 campaign for the Oval Office, you constantly referred to President Bush, leader of your own party, in sneering terms as King George, King George and Danny Boy. Here in the 96 race, you ridiculed Bob Dole as the bellhop of the business roundtable. Of course, some sarcasm goes with even the more noble strains of politics, but Pat, there was always a mean edge to your rhetoric, your name-calling, that didn't square with either your Christian faith or pro-Christian agenda. Clear back in the early days of Nixon, you were the speechwriter who gave Agnew the rip-and-slash attack line and effete corps of impudent snobs. I suppose both the Buchanan brigades and those who can't stand the mention of your name will remember most vividly the 1992 speech you gave in Houston. Time magazine called it, quote, a snarling, bigoted attack on minorities, gays, and his other enemies in what he, Buchanan, called the cultural war and religious war in America. An ugly speech, Time said, that set a tone of right-wing intolerance. Comedian Jay Leno commented afterward, not very jokingly, Pat Buchanan is the thinking man's David Duke. At this year's San Diego convention, when a news commentator asked you how you felt about giving an address that might well have tipped an entire election away from your own party, you simply smiled and said with pride, well, it's a speech that no one will ever forget. But Pat, it's an unavoidable truth that your super-spiked rhetoric, your words spoken in the heat of battle, have often reflected poorly on the cause of Jesus Christ. People who are considering the Christian faith, who are casting a glance in the direction of the body of Christ, hear some of the red meat coming from your political commentaries or C-SPAN speeches, and even though you do have your followers, there are also those who have turned away in droves, not just from your political movement, but also from the slightest link to the Christian faith I know you love. Pat, I know your heart. And you think you know your own heart, even though humans are incredibly capable of self-deception. But it ought to concern you when phrases like anti-Semitic get linked with your name time and time and time again. Oh, there's no fire there, your friends protest, just smoke. But when so many people see smoke, where they ought to see the pure, clean air of Christian love, then it's time to watch out. You're a man whose teleprompter never holds back at a rally. Borrowing from the late Howard Cosell, another divisive American, you pride yourself on telling it like it is. And there's a lot of truth in what you say. The Bible does teach that an able-bodied person who refuses to work shouldn't eat. An immoral lifestyle like promiscuous, anonymous homosexual sex undeniably leads to sickness and death. You've said so, and you were right when you said so. But you often made your pronouncements with gloating in your demeanor and with an eye cocked toward the electoral map. Could you make it us and them? And could the us group top 43% in a three-way presidential race and give you the crown? Pat, when my son Jesus was on earth 2,000 years ago, he didn't enter politics. It wasn't his mission to save the world that way. But he did sometimes fix a steady gaze on a group of religious leaders or even on a nation and say three hard-hitting words right out of the Pat Buchanan playbook. Woe to you! You're on the wrong course, he'd tell people. Your cruelty is seen in heaven. Your moral bankruptcy is destroying the nation. Pat, he said the tough things that needed saying. But I want to tell you something. There was none of the glee, none of the gotcha, none of the we versus them that seems to mark your every run for the White House. Let me quote from a book that ought to become a part of your political library. Here's a description from The Desire of Ages about my son's strategy. Christ himself did not suppress one word of truth, but he spoke it always in love. He exercised the greatest tact and thoughtful, kind attention in his dealings with the people. He was never rude, never needlessly spoke a severe word, never gave needless pain to a sensitive soul. He did not censure human weakness. He fearlessly denounced hypocrisy, unbelief, and iniquity, but tears were in his voice as he uttered his scathing rebukes. In all men he saw fallen souls whom it was his mission to save. Pat Buchanan, you may be the President of the United States someday. God alone does know the future, and I'm not telling. But if that day ever comes, I'm going to want you to remember two things. First, you'll be President because I permitted it to happen. Your residency in the White House will be subject to my approval, I allow people to rise and also cause them to be brought down. Never forget that when you're tempted to think this is your own crusade, that you are the man, the focus of the Buchanan Brigades, the object of everyone's hopes and dreams. Which takes me to point number two. When San Diego closed its doors to you, you went next door to a huge religious right gathering in nearby Escondido. All the big names were there, and yes, they had come to hear their hero, Pat Buchanan. And toward the end, when you conceded that you and your people weren't going to grab the prize this time, you then looked at the audience and made a prediction about the future, and it went like this. The stone the builders rejected will become the cornerstone. Which is a line that comes from the Bible. That's a verse talking about the Holy Son of God, my Son, Jesus Christ. Pat. It does not refer to any human man bearing the name Pat Buchanan or any other. I hope you can understand now how even many Christians watching that evening shook their heads in disbelief. Well, it's time for the mail to get picked up. Despite what I've just said, I love and appreciate you as my own child. The election is over and the celebration of the Christ child's birth is just 8 days away. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That's what I want for you, Pat. That's what I want to accomplish through you and your devoted army. Merry Christmas. Love, God.
Thank you, Lonnie, for that portrayal. And thank you, friend, for joining us during this week of unique December messages. This is Kenneth Richards. We'd like to send you a copy of our brand new Voice of Prophecy book, God's Christmas Cards, compiled from the 1994, 95, and 96 series of radio messages. Past highlights include Susan Smith, the mother who drowned her two sons, Bill Clinton, Fred Goldman, and all of this year's recipients. For your gift of just $5 or more, we'll mail God's Christmas Cards out to you immediately. Write to Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. That's Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. Our Canadian address is Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-800-872-0055 and give the operator a credit card number for your gift of $5 or more. That number again, 1-800-872-0055. Lonnie?
Thanks, Ken. Tomorrow we'll discover what God might say to Dilbert, the abused, overworked, underpaid, cubicle-squished employee. Do join us. Remember, friend, God loves you.
Is God as disappointed as some Christians about the re-election of Bill Clinton? How does God feel about this occupant of the White House? Or any man who lives at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. What would a God in heaven say to the pro-choice, scandal-ridden, never-inhaling president who just rose out of the ashes to win a second term? And what would God say to those who have spent the past 4 years mocking their own president, and especially his controversial wife? The new book, God's Christmas Cards, contains the full text of the 1994 Christmas card from God to President Bill Clinton. Some straightforward words of rebuke, and also a positive note of encouragement that may surprise you. All 12 of God's Christmas cards from the 1994 series, 95, and here in 96, are included, even this year's messages to Dilbert and Madonna. This full volume, God's Christmas Cards, is yours for a gift of just $5 or more. Write to Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. Or call toll-free, 1-800-872-0055. Just this once, opening someone else's mail is going to be allowed.